You are listening to KNNA LP 95.7 FM, Lincoln, Nebraska.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Howdy, y'all. This is Ashley.
And this is Callie.
We're the host of Notes from the Stage, and we're here every Thursday night from 5 to 6 p.m. on KNNA LP 95.7 FM.
We love show tunes from musicals so much that we've decided to share just a few of them with you, like Lion King, Chicago.
Ooh, ooh.
What?
Well, don't forget about Wicked, too.
Oh, man, yeah.
And we're pretty sure it's going to be the bee's knees. So come join us right here on KNNA LP 95.7 FM every Thursday night from 5 to 6 p.m.
Jack.
What?
We lost power to the radio again.
Again?
Yeah.
What are we going to do unless people can donate to us and help us, you know, keep on the air and make the repairs?
I know. With donations, we can buy backup systems and equipment so that when something goes down, as it happens, we can quickly replace it and get back on the air for our fans.
Boy, it would sure be neat if everybody that we know could donate to us and just help us out a little bit.
Yeah, so they can just go to www.thecross957.org.
Really?
Yes, that's www.thecross957.org.
And it's real easy from there, isn't it?
Just click on that donate button and follow the instructions. Or maybe they could snail mail it, Jack.
They could. They could send a check to us right here at KNNALP, 3825 Wildbriar Lane, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68516. See, Nancy, I do remember where we work.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'd like to invite you to join us to worship with us at Good Shepherd. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages in between. We also worship on Wednesday evenings, 6:30. Please join us, won't you? And may God richly bless your day.
The United States, her constitution unlike that of any other world nation. A national ensign that proudly flies higher than any other. And servants, men and women who have taken an oath, a solemn witness promise, to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and to bear true faith and allegiance to that Constitution, that our Constitution and our way of life may stand firm as they have. Oh, thus be it ever when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that has made and preserved us as a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. They are called Marines, soldiers, sailors, airmen, Coast Guardsmen. The Cross, KNNA LP FM 95.7. Thanks God for you. God bless you all, and may God bless America.
On the Y-Files, we sometimes discuss theology with guest pastors. Other times, we may discuss topics that are out of this world, literally. But most important of all, we base our discussions from Scripture first and go from there. And yes, if you are wondering, the Bible is the true Word of God. In fact, that was our very first episode, which you can listen to on the Y-Files page at thecross957.org. The Y-Files, every Sunday at 2 p.m. live, and replayed on Tuesday at 11 a.m. and Thursday at 6 p.m. Tune us in. You'll be glad you did.
The LP in KNNA LP stands for low power. It means we only have a certain amount of wattage to broadcast our station. So, when you hear us start to fade, go to our free KNNA app for your mobile device or go to the web at www.thecross957.org and listen to us wherever you go.
Welcome, Lincoln, to the Y-Files, the one and only program like this on KNNA.
Indeed.
I can't say about anywhere else. I don't know if there's any shows like this anywhere else in the world.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
There's got to be. It's got to be.
We're a little bit like Issues Etc.
A little bit.
A little.
The format is very similar to Issues Etc. And that's the fact that we host the program, David and I. By the way, I'm Captain Kirk. David's here.
Hello.
I didn't even have to say it. Let's go say hello, David.
Say hello, David.
There you go. Forgot to throw the dad joke in there.
Indeed.
So it's similar to Issues Etc. We host the show, but then we ask our guest pastors to come on and discuss some questions that either we have personally or questions that our listeners have submitted to us, which, by the way, if you have a question that you would like to submit to this program, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/theyfiles, or you can just message us or something like that, or just search the Y-Files. It's the letter Y, by the way. The letter Y.
Right.
Not W-H-Y, although it's kind of interchangeable sometimes.
There
are a lot of Y questions.
Even in the searches?
No, not in the searches. No, I'm just kind of saying just in your head.
Right on.
So this is a program on KNNA where we discuss theological things and even sometimes out-of-this-world things. We have talked about aliens.
Yes.
With
several
Pastor
times.
Eric Brown, and it was only once.
Well, we talk about talking about aliens pretty frequently.
Well, one of these days we're gonna discuss the Nephilim. But sometimes we actually get into more theological sides of things like what's the purpose of the sacraments? Is the Bible really the Word of God? Did Jesus really exist? Is Jesus actually God? I mean, we've tackled a lot of questions. I think this is episode 26.
Yeah.
25, 26, I'd have to count again.
Wow.
Yeah, so we've had a lot of questions, and we average about three questions per show.
Yep.
That's a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've missed any of that, you can go to the website, thecrosstime57.org, and go to the Y-Files page. It's archived there. You can listen to it on demand. So joining us this afternoon is Pastor Adam Olean from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. He has been on this program before, but he was at a different church last time. But now he's here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. So, Pastor Moline, welcome to the Y-Files.
Oh, thank you there, huh? Yeah.
He's making fun of me now.
Yeah, I heard on the radio not very long ago teasing me about my North Dakota accent, so I better get that dig in there.
Yes, he heard that on a tangent. I guess, was it me who made the comment?
Oh, yeah,
was it only
sure.
me that made the comment?
Oh, for you.
Okay, it was only me. So he's one of these days he's going to come off on a tangent and defend himself.
I was driving in my car, and there you were. Making fun of me.
Well, I'm glad to have you back on the program. It's been quite a while, so I'm glad to have you here. So let's get started. So, David, what do we have first?
All right. This question will take a little bit to formulate. It is written that Jesus was the only one to ascend into heaven. That's written in John chapter 3, verse 13. I'll just read that real quick. It says, "No one has ascended into heaven except he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man." So it says that, but then what about Elijah? It's written in, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. It says, And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven. So, what is this? Is this a biblical contradiction?
Well, no, not really. There's a whole lot we could talk about in this regard, and maybe we start with John 3 as a whole first and put that particular passage in context. Jesus is meeting with a ruler of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Nicodemus is meeting with him in the night out of fear of the Jews. And we also have this image that John is so good at this, image of Nicodemus kind of being in the dark in the night. And Jesus comes and talks to him and turns the light on for Nicodemus. And this is even where we have that famous passage right around there, right after the verse you quoted, where God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The gospel in a nutshell. So we have Jesus say, right before that passage, no one has ascended into heaven except he who has descended into heaven, or descended from heaven. And what Jesus is trying to teach us here is that he actually has authority to teach Nicodemus about the things that he's doing. So to begin with, Nicodemus is this great teacher, and he's talking to Jesus because he's heard about Jesus. He wants to know how Jesus can talk about these things. Jesus had just told him, you must be born again. And Nicodemus says, how can that be? You know, how does a person get back into their mom's womb and be born a second time? And this is where Jesus is responding. You're a teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things. We speak about what we know. We bear witness about what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? Noah, and his point here is, he has authority to talk about heavenly things because he is the one who came down from heaven. He's the one who entered our world. He's been in heaven and has seen it firsthand, and no one else has done that. So Jesus is talking about heavenly things because he has the authority to, having visited heaven. Then we have that passage, no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. That phrase, Son of Man, is a loaded term in the Old Testament. That is a phrase that is used to teach us about the Messiah. So Jesus here is saying, no one has ascended into heaven except he who came down from heaven, the Messiah. And we know that to be Jesus himself. What he's talking about is his authority. He's able to talk about heaven because he's been there. He also, on his own authority, is able to come down from heaven, and on his own authority is able to go back up into heaven. And we see that all take place later on. Jesus came down from heaven in the incarnation, born of the Virgin Mary, man completely and totally, at the same time also God completely and totally. So Jesus is the one who came down from heaven, and after his resurrection, he's also the one who goes up into heaven. He's the one who ascends and sits now at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and from thence he will come to judge both the living and the dead. He's able to do all that on his own authority and by his own power and by his own work. Now, that... Are you following me so far?
Yes.
So far, so good.
Yes.
So far, so good.
Okay, us pastors, we like to hear ourselves talk, so just feel free to interrupt me anytime. Now, that takes us then to Elijah. Elijah is taken up to heaven. This is in 2 Kings chapter 2. Elijah is taken up to heaven in a whirlwind, and let's maybe just even take a look at that. And chapter 2, verse 9, when they had crossed the river, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken. Elisha said, please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so. And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven by a whirlwind. Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen, and he saw him no more. Now, having heard that, on whose authority does Elijah go to heaven?
God's.
God's. What did Elijah do to earn his way up into heaven?
Nothing.
What did Elijah do to get into heaven?
Nothing.
Nothing. Stood there.
Right. Elijah just stood there. God comes down in the chariot of fire, picks him up, and takes him to heaven. And so we see here Elijah, in his own authority, does not have the ability to ascend into heaven. God is the only one who can do that. God comes down, grabs him, and takes him up to heaven. Now, in the same regard, it would be worthwhile for us. Oh, I heard.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So the distinction that I'm getting from you, correct me if I'm wrong, the distinction is sort of the proactivity of the action. Elijah it can be said that Jesus ascended into heaven because it was his action. He did that. Whereas Elijah was taken up into heaven. Thus, he did not ascend, technically.
Right. He's taken with God. God comes down and gets him. And I guess the good news for us as Christians is that that's the same thing God is going to do for us as well. We don't have authority to get ourselves into heaven. We can't be good enough to get ourselves into heaven. We can't be holy enough to get ourselves into heaven. Jesus does that for us. Jesus comes down. Jesus earns heaven for us. And Jesus, as he says later in John, if I go to prepare a place for you, will I not also come back and take you to be with me, so that where I am, you may be also? Jesus is the one who then takes us to heaven. We have this in Genesis as well, Genesis chapter 5. We have, Jared had a son named Enoch, and Enoch lived 65 years old, and then he fathered Methuselah, who he lived to be 969 years old, the oldest recorded person in Scripture. Enoch walked with God, and after he fathered Methuselah 300 years, he had other sons and daughter. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, which is a fancy way of saying what about Enoch?
Had faith.
He had faith. Enoch had faith, and then he was not, for God took him. And there's another person that we know in Scripture that did not die, but instead God took him up into heaven. Now, Enoch is not, it's not that he was more holy or anything like that. He had faith. God, therefore, took him up to be in heaven, to the peace and joy that awaits all of us there.
This reminds me, maybe you can tell me which passage this is. In Matthew, one will be taken and the other one left. This reminds me of that Bible passage, and I don't know what that is off the top of my head, where exactly that's at. But that's, and we talked about this on this program too, where what does that mean? Because there's a lot of people who misinterpret one will be taken, the other one left. And some people think, like the Left Behind series.
The rapture.
They do think of the rapture, and that's not accurate. Because what people need to understand is that, the one that's taken, those are the believers. Mm-hmm. Right. The believers are the ones who are taken. The other ones that are left, those are the ones that are forsaken by God.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of reminds me, the distinction between ascended and taken.
Right.
We are taken into heaven by God's will. We are. Yeah.
It's the glory, the power, the majesty, and might of Jesus that gives him the authority to ascend into heaven. And this is, I use that word authority for a purpose as well. In the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And then he ascends into heaven. And so it's his authority that gets people into heaven. And he's the only one who can get himself into heaven.
Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Adam Moline from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Lincoln, Nebraska. We're running a little late on our break because I got so into the topic that I lost track of time. But we'll be right back. Don't go away for some more Y-Files.
Would you like to be able to speak about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide with courage and compassion? Hi, I'm Pastor Michael Salamek, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. We're an organization that exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. We have resources available at www.lutheransforlife.org, or you can call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433.
CGS Music is a locally owned music store here in Lincoln, Nebraska. CGS Music provides musical instrument sales, rentals, and repairs of both string and band instruments. Visit cgsmusic.net. Again, that's cgsmusic.net, or call 402-328-0677. That's 402-328-0677.
Out on a Tangent is a show about superheroes and their amazing powers. Adam recently watched the entire solar eclipse start to finish without once needing to use those special glasses. Jim frequently consumes Play-Doh with deli mustard just because his daughters asked him so politely. David has the power to wax his armpits and run long, grueling races for no reason at all. Eric has the power to analyze all the fun out of any movie you choose. Listen to Off on a Tangent live almost every Saturday at 7 to 9 p.m. only on KNNA.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk, along here with David. Say hello, David.
Hello, David.
Say, I wanted to get that in there officially. Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Adam Moline from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Lincoln, Nebraska. And we've been discussing the distinction between Elijah and even Enoch going to heaven and Jesus ascending into heaven. So if you've missed any of that, I'm sorry, we don't have time to go back and repeat that. But you can go to the website, thecross957.org, and if you wait until about 3:20 in the afternoon, which, by the way, it is October 14th, 2018, if you give me till 3:20, it will be on the website, and then you can re-listen to this show.
Could I just real quick to bring that to a close, the tense of the verb kind of helps you understand that as well as you look at it. Ascended is a verb where the main actor is the person who's ascending, in this case, Jesus, whereas the other verbs that are used, taken, are more of a passive verb where the action is being done to the person rather than the person doing the action. And so we can see that clarity there with the tense of the verb.
Yeah. Yes. I'm really glad we had this question because it's a common criticism of, you know, people outside the faith. You know, they say, well, the Bible has contradictions, but you look into it and you don't find contradictions. You find fine distinctions like this one. So it's, yeah, I'm glad we had this question.
Yeah. The more you study God's word, the more you realize that these contradictions aren't really contradictions at all. It's just our own limited understanding.
And one of the things that I want to point out quick is, sometimes, if not all the time, I purposely provide questions that are provocative, okay? So I purposely nitpicked certain verses, and I didn't give it in the entire context. I know David read it, but I had put it together. I purposely just nitpicked, because that's what people do. They look at a certain part of the Bible, and they go, well, see, this is what it says. Well, no, and that's where you opened it up. It was like, well, first of all, let's look at the entire context of what we're talking about here to get a better understanding of the question. And just like Pastor, you just said, the more you study God's word, the more you start seeing those distinctions. And that's very important. Don't just nitpick the Bible. You're going to need to read everything that's in there. Before we go on to the next question, is there anything else that we want to add to the question of the ascension of Jesus and Elijah being taken? Anything else?
I think we're good.
All right. You just about to say something?
No, what? No, I mean,
okay.
To answer your question briefly, there's so much we could say about the ascension that we could probably have a whole show on that, but
yes.
No, that's plenty for today.
All right, so Elijah was in the Old Testament, so speaking of the Old Testament, and you mentioned Enoch, too, who walked with God, and we make that clarification of he had that faith in God. So the question is, in relation to Pentecost, was the Holy Spirit not given until the New Testament? Now, really quick, if you can explain Pentecost before actually answering that Old Testament question.
Yeah. To start with, to explain Pentecost, Pentecost was a Jewish feast that took place in Jerusalem. It took place 50 days after the Passover, thus the name Pentecost, Penta being five, or in this case referring to 50. It was an opportunity for people all over the Jewish nation to come to Jerusalem to worship and to hear God's word and to offer sacrifices there. And the important Pentecost that we in the church remember is the one that takes place 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, that particular Passover, where Christ was crucified and then he rose again on the third day and lives and reigns even until this very day. So the Pentecost that we are concerned about as Christians is the one 50 days after that. And those 50 days, 40 days after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus was there with the disciples, mm-hmm. teaching, telling them what their job is to do now, proving that he is really alive. That's almost an undebatable point anymore, is the resurrection of Jesus. There's really no logical explanation except that Jesus really rose from the dead. At the end of the 40 days of instruction, Jesus ascended into heaven, as we just heard. And then 10 days later, that is Pentecost. Pentecost is kind of known as the birth of the church on earth, insofar as that's the day that the Holy Spirit comes and allows the apostles to speak in other languages, sending them out into all the corners of the earth to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. In our day and age, we better make sure we understand in the Greek there, the word that is used for languages is glossa, which also means the part of your body is known as tongue. In this particular case, it means a language. It is a real, literal language. In fact, in the scriptures there, we have the list of all those languages, Parthian, Median, Elamites, Judean, Cappadocian, Pontian, Phrygia, Egyptian, all these languages, they're real languages, most of them variants of Greek that were spoken. And the message, the content of all the speaking is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died and he rose again to give life. Now, where we're going with the question, it sounds like, is the Holy Spirit, before they spoke in the languages, descended from heaven, came with a great rushing wind. Mm-hmm. Remember, spirit in the Greek is pneumatos, which also could mean wind. So what sound does the Holy Spirit make? He makes the sound of wind because that's kind of what he is in that regard. The third person of God, of course, but a spirit. He comes down in flames of fire, and the flames of fire separate into 12, and one flame lands on each one of the apostles, giving them the authority to speak in all these different languages to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's Pentecost. That's kind of where we have to start in what the question we're going to ask is.
Okay. So the question then is, was there, because you just had that great description of the Holy Spirit coming down among the 12. Does that mean that there was no Holy Spirit prior to that? So in this case, the Old Testament.
Right. No, that does not mean that at all. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune God. He is an uncreated being with all power, all knowledge, all authority. He is God of God, just the same way that Jesus is God of God and God the Father is God. And the Holy Spirit had existed since before creation even existed. And so if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, you'll see there in Genesis 1 that we have, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the heavens and the earth were formless and void. And then we also have this weird little phrase here that says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And in your Bible, that Spirit of God is capitalized, mm-hmm. which tells you who is that Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit.
The mm-hmm. Holy Spirit. So all the way in the very beginning, God is there. The Holy Spirit is there in the creation account, telling you that he was already there. We also have other places where the Holy Spirit is. For example, in the baptism of Jesus, the Holy Spirit descends in the form of a dove and lands upon Jesus. We have places in the Old Testament where the Spirit of the Lord said this, or the Spirit of the Lord did that. So we have all these times when God's Spirit is present way before Pentecost.
Joining us this afternoon here on the Y-Files is Pastor Adam Moline from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, and we're discussing, at this point in time, whether or not the Holy Spirit was in the Old Testament, and the answer is yes. And I have a couple more things about that I want to get to before we move on to our next question. So in the meantime, while you're waiting during the break, you can go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/theYFiles, and you can submit your own question that you have for this program that we will ask on your behalf. And you can also go to the website, thecross957.org, and you can see what other episodes that we've had. We have discussed the validity of the Bible and Jesus' ascension and all that stuff and the Trinity. So look into that if you're a little bit confused. I promise you will not be disappointed. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
You are listening to KNNA LP 95.7 FM, Lincoln, Nebraska.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'd like to invite you to join us to worship with us at Good Shepherd. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages in between. We also worship on Wednesday evenings, 6:30. Please join us, won't you? And may God richly bless your day.
The LP in KNNA LP stands for low power. It means we only have a certain amount of wattage to broadcast our station. So, when you hear us start to fade, go to our free KNNA app for your mobile device or go to the web at www.thecross957.org and listen to us wherever you go.
Well, hello there. I'm old lovable Jack's sister, Debbie, and I am reminding you to tune in to When Music Was Music on KNNA LP FM 95.7 in Lincoln. In fact, I encourage you to tune in to all of FM 95.7's great programming. I live near Chicago, and I listen on my computer. You can too. You can find this great station at www.thecross957.org, and you can even download the KNNA app. Then you will not only be able to hear all the great programs wherever you go, but you won't miss my brother's fun big band program either. I know you'll be richly rewarded through FM 95.7's daily faith strengthening programs, along with all the fun entertainment programs too. Tune in. I do.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk. Along here hosting with me is David. And joining us this afternoon is Pastor Adam Moline from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Lincoln, Nebraska. We've been discussing this last 20 minutes or so about the Holy Spirit being in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And I brought up Pentecost. And so as we've been discussing this, Pastor, you know, the tongues of fire coming onto the disciples, and then they're speaking different languages. We'll get to that part in just a second. But so if the Holy Spirit was in the Old Testament this entire time, what is the purpose of this moment in Scripture of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit comes in like a raging wind and brings tongues of fire on the tops of the heads of the disciples? And I mean, that to me, that sounds like, oh, the Holy Spirit has finally entered into history at this precise moment. But that's not entirely true. So what's the purpose of this event?
Yeah, that's a good question. The answer, maybe before we get to the answer, we have to ask this. What is the Holy Spirit's job? What does he do? The Holy Spirit always, always, always points to Jesus Christ and the salvation that we have in him. Or maybe another way to say it is the Holy Spirit creates faith. We say in the small catechism, I believe I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit calls me by the Gospels, enlightens me with his gifts, and sanctifies and keeps me in the one true faith. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to create faith. Now, in the Old Testament and even before Pentecost, did people have faith? Definitely. Who's the one doing that work, even in the Old Testament? It's the Holy Spirit. What's Pentecost then? Pentecost is an important thing because it is the undoing of something God did all the way back in Genesis chapter 11. This is right after the flood, where eight souls were kept alive in the ark, along with a number of the animals and things like that. They get out and they start populating the earth again, and we have in Genesis chapter 11 then the creation of a tower in the plain of Shinar, and you all know this as the Tower of Babel. Mm-hmm. And what's the purpose for them building this tower?
To reach heaven.
Right. Why do they want to get up there?
Overthrow God?
Well, I would say no. What had just happened right before this?
The flood.
The flood. And you know, the flood covered the whole earth with water to a certain height. And God, after the flood, what did God promise? I will never again...
Flood the earth again.
I will never again destroy the earth with a flood. Mm-hmm. That's a word of God, a word of promise, a word of good news. And these people in the plain of Shinar didn't believe that word at all. They had no faith. So what's their plan? When you don't believe God's word, we try to come up with our own plan. Well, here's what we'll do. We'll build a huge, tall tower. We'll seal it up with tar and bitumen, and it'll be waterproof. And the next time there's a worldwide flood, we can get above the water, and we'll be safe, and we don't have to worry about this.
I've never heard that explanation.
Well, I haven't either.
Well, fascinating.
So what's God do in response? And it's because they don't believe his word of promise, his word of this isn't going to happen again. They don't believe. They're going to build their own tower. They're going to try to reach heaven themselves, save themselves apart from God and his promise.
So, sorry, really quick. Somebody might say, well, it's not that then God was afraid that man was going to become like God. It was all because he stopped them because they didn't trust in God. Is that my understanding?
Well, I mean, that's what it says in the text here. It says, right, verse 4, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top to the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Mm-hmm. If you make a name for yourselves that says you don't believe in
God, I mean, that's self-idolatry.
That is definitely self-idolatry. And we have before that, at the end of, chapter 9, where that's maybe not the end, but in the middle of chapter 9, where God made the promise that never again will all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And so that you have a sign, I'm going to put my bow in the heavens so that when it rains, you can look up and say, we're not going to all drown in a big flood today. They didn't believe that word. Mm-hmm. They wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to be their own God, just like God promised would happen if they ate from where the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. Mm-hmm. So they're building this tower. What's God do to stop that from happening?
Gives them all different languages.
Yeah, he comes down, he descends, and he confuses their language, and he scatters them over the face of the earth. So now no longer are the people that were able to talk to each other and make this plan able to do that. God has thwarted their plan to try and save themselves. They're spread out all over the earth, and now there's no unity within humanity anymore. We're talking about Pentecost, right? Mm-hmm. What does that have to do with Pentecost? That's where we got to go.
Yes.
What does God do in Pentecost? He undoes what he did at Babel. He takes people from all different languages and all different tribes and peoples, and he unites them together with one language again. Not talking language like, je parle français ou, ich spreche sie Deutsch. We're talking, unite them with a theology that teaches Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And despite language, despite different countries, we are all united as the one church on earth because we are united in Jesus Christ and faith and trust in him. That's what is happening then at Pentecost. And the apostles go out to all those places, Pontus, Italy, Spain, North Africa, Saudi Arabia, what is today that anyways, and they preach the gospel, and the church, the one church on earth, is all united in the doctrine and practice of what they preach and teach.
All right, then.
I've not heard it put that way either. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Having a one language type thing. That's really cool. I wrote that one down. that'll be in my notes.
Well, so. And that's, I mean, we could speak different languages today, but we still have the same faith, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe the easiest way for us to say it is, you know, I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son. And, you know, we could recite it in French. We could recite it in Greek. We could, any language you want to, but the content is still all the same. We are now united together in a faith that saves us, not by our own works, but by the work of Jesus Christ, by the work of God.
So what was the significance of the speaking in tongues?
Yeah, that's been kind of abused today in some of these churches. That's the kindest way I can put it. Because we have that word in Acts where it says they, I think it's here in chapter 2, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We have that word there, and for whatever reason in our English, we are translating it kind of awkwardly. The word in the Greek is, like I said earlier, glossa. The word glossa can mean the part of your body known as your tongue. You know, the whatever, you know, that's your glossa. It also means a language that you speak with that tongue. And without context, we don't necessarily know how to interpret that glossa. It could be tongue, it could be language. Now, the thing that gives us the context is the rest of this passage, where there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and at this sound multitude came together, and they were amazed and astonished because they spoke Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamian, Judean, Cappadocian, Pontian, Phrygian, Pamphylian, Egyptian. They spoke all these languages. That tells us what glossa should be translated as right there. In our world today, though, there are those who translate glossa as tongue, and they mean some sort of heavenly language, some sort of gobbledygook. And they misuse that to try and say, how do you know if you're a real Christian? Well, you know if you're a real Christian if you can speak one of these heavenly languages, this gobbledygook. And so they get themselves all worked up into a frenzy, and they jump up and down the aisles, and they go, and if they're doing that the right way, then supposedly that's a sign that they are a true Christian, as opposed to you, David, and you, Jim, who are not true Christians because you can't go, and it's a sad thing, because then here's the issue with it, that in seriousness, the issue is that it is putting your faith into something you can do rather than in what God does for you through his son, Jesus Christ. How do you know you're saved? You know you're saved because Jesus died for you. He washed you in the waters of baptism, and he gives you his word, not because you can speak some heavenly language, or they even have people that supposedly can interpret that language. And it just gets to be kind of ridiculous, but in the end, it puts faith not in Jesus, but in something you can do.
Hmm. Faith in yourself.
Right. At the seminary, we had to go to classes, or this class, we had to go to churches that were not our own church body. And one of the guys in my class went to a church where they speak in tongues. And, you know, the people speak in tongues, and then somebody interprets it and says, this is what the guy is saying, what it means. He got up and he started to pray the Lord's Prayer in Greek, Pater Himon, Hos en Urano, right? And the guy started translating it. It was not the Lord's Prayer that he was translating it in.
Oh, my goodness.
And that just kind of shows you some of the ridiculousness of it. So, and I mean that kindly. I really do. But
that means somebody actually took the effort to know the Greek to say that. That's so deceiving. Yeah. It's so terribly deceiving to do that to people, just to try to convince them that speaking in tongues is real.
Well, why? I mean, if you were, how do I say this? You want to prove that you can speak in tongues to show people that you're really saved. To say, look, I'm a real Christian. I'm really going to be a part of this group of saved people. It's a question of pride. It's a question of not wanting to be left out of the group, and so it gets passed on. And I think a lot of it is wrong, but I think it's well-meaning. I want to show that I'm a real Christian, and that's probably part of our problem with it.
Wow, you're listening to the Y-Files of Captain Kirk, along here with David, and joining us this afternoon is Pastor Adam Moline here from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We got to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. But while you're waiting, go to the Y-Files page on Facebook, facebook.com/Y-Files, and you can submit your own question that we will ask on your behalf to a guest pastor coming up. And also, if you've missed most of this program, if you wait a little bit, I'll get it on the website. Again, it's October 14th, 2018. If you wait a little bit after 3 o'clock, I'll get it on the website, and you can listen to this program once again on thecross957.org.
Five seconds is the average time your eyes are off the road while texting. When traveling at 55 miles per hour, that's enough time to cover the length of a football field blindfolded. Put down the phone. Don't text and drive.
Radio is not free. Well, maybe for you, the listener, it is, but here at KNNA 95.7 FM, not so much. Every year, there are expenses that must be met. The only way for that to happen is if a fantastic person, such as yourself, donates to KNNA The Cross. Come on over to thecross957.org for more information and to donate. Help keep this station alive and well. Once again, that is thecross957.org.
There. I'm old lovable Jack Kirk.
And I am Nancy. And every Friday night on FM 95.7, Jack and I co-host a big band swing era program that we call When Music Was Music.
We do our program live every Friday night from 7 to 9. And since we are live, there are no do-overs for Nancy and me. You get our stumbling over words, our bantering back and forth, and all the rest of our bloopers.
It's all part of the fun, and we do it every Friday night from 7 to 9 here on The Cross, KNNA LP FM 95.7.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'd like to invite you to join us to worship with us at Good Shepherd. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages in between. We also worship on Wednesday evenings, 6:30. Please join us, won't you? And may God richly bless your day.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk here with David. Say hello, David.
Hello, David.
I got it in three times today. That means it's a great day.
Such is our habit.
And this afternoon, joining us is Pastor Adam Olean from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Lincoln, Nebraska. We have discussed the difference between ascension and taken when it comes to Jesus and Elijah and even Enoch. And we've discussed Pentecost and the Holy Spirit. We've discussed speaking in tongues just a moment ago. So if you've missed all of that, once again, go to thecross957.org in just a little bit, and you can re-listen to this episode. By the way, it is October 14th. So if you hear this on a different day, it means it's a rerun, because we do rerun this show. I think that's the first time I've used rerun.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said replay.
Yep.
It's an old-fashioned rerun.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I'd like to move on to the next question. And that refers to a bumper sticker I just saw the other day. And apparently people have seen these bumper stickers before. This was my first time just last week. And the bumper sticker says, God is too big to fit inside one religion. And I've also heard, this is not a bumper sticker, but I've also heard that people don't like Christianity just because they are not accepting of other religions. And I know there's a lot of different directions we can go with this topic. But my main question here is, are there multiple ways to God or to heaven?
No. Do we need to go in more detail? I mean, bumper stickers like that, there is this desire for everybody to just get along and be one big happy family. But the fact of the matter is that it's not God's fault that we have so many religions. It's our own sinful natures that don't want to believe what God says about himself. God too big for fitting into one religion. God's the one who created the one religion that he does fit into. And there's even those who say, you know, we all worship the same God. We just do it in different ways. That's not true. God tells us how we should worship him, and we follow what God's word says. And so if we're going to try and peg God, why not listen to what he says about himself at the very least? You know, we have so much pressure to take people for whoever they say they are. Why don't we take God for who he says he is? And he's very clear about that in his word. Is there more than one way? No, Jesus is very clear about that. In the Gospel of John, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we have to be clear even about the specifics about who that Jesus is. It's not nice guy Jesus. It's not Jesus is a friend of mine Jesus. It's Jesus crucified, dead, risen, and ascended into heaven. Or as Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. And he even says that that's a stumbling block to many people, but that's the message, that's the content of the only true saving faith. When I say that, I don't want you to think that we Lutherans think we're the ones who have it. I do think we have the right doctrine, but can there be Catholics in heaven? Yes. Are there going to be Baptists in heaven? Yes. Are there going to be people we're surprised in heaven? Yes. But why are they all going to be there? Because they believe in Jesus. We summarize this in the Athanasian Creed. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith. And the Catholic faith is this, and it's long, but I'm going to summarize it in two parts. One, that we believe in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, neither separating the substance but not confusing the people. And then number two, that we believe in Jesus Christ crucified and risen. If you believe those two things, you have salvation, you're saved, and that's the only way you're saved.
So most people know by now, but if not, this is a Lutheran radio station. And us three sitting in here are Lutheran. But you just said something. You said the Catholic faith. Can you elaborate on that, please?
I definitely can. The word there in the original language this creed is written in was Greek. The word there is Catholicos, which means universal, and we'd be wrong to say that one particular church body has the claim on that phrase. Meaning, when I say that, I'm not saying Big C Roman Catholic. I'm talking about Catholic. You believe what all Christians at all times have believed, and that is the two things I said: is the Trinity and Jesus Christ crucified and risen. That's the Catholic faith. And we are Lutherans, and in our Book of Concord, we even claim that we are the true lowercase c Catholics, because mm-hmm. we believe what scriptures say.
So anybody coming to a worship service at a Lutheran church and they just heard that will now be able to understand that when we say that in the creed, that that's what it means, that we're not actually the Roman Catholic Church, but what you just described. So, I had it in my head and I just totally lost it. So I'm just going to leave it right there.
I have something on sort of the criticism that God is too big to fit into a single religion.
Sure.
There's an essay by C.S. Lewis where he writes about this, and I'll try to summarize it. Basically, he uses the analogy of an ocean and a map of that ocean. Now, the ocean is so much grander and greater and you know, more, it's just so much more than the map. When you turn from the ocean to the map, you are, in a sense, turning from something real to something less real. But you can know the ocean through the map in a way that you simply can't by standing on the beach and looking at the ocean.
Yeah, and I think, you know, C.S. Lewis is a Neoplatonist, and that's kind of fits into his understanding of
right.
this world reflecting what the real true reality is, which For him is Christianity, which we would definitely agree with, and his analogy is good in that regard. But even then, the analogy, because of the nature of God, even falls short in lots of places,
right,
which is the challenge.
Exactly.
So I would encourage you to be, not you, but mm-hmm. listeners out there, to be in the Word so that you are able to see the ocean for what it really is, or as we're trying to talk about, see God for who he really is. The clearest place we can see that is in the person and work of Jesus, which is why, you know, I feel like we've had Bible study in church this morning, and I feel like I've said the same thing mm-hmm. 1 million times. Look to Jesus, look to Jesus, look to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that Lutheran pastoring in general?
That's right. That's right. That's why they pay me the big bucks.
Yep.
So that's all very important to understand when it comes to that Jesus tells us, God tells us there's only one way. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that long ago that I heard somebody say, Christianity, it's just, they don't accept anybody else. They tell everybody else that they're wrong. It's just not right. And it's just, I'm glad you say that to us about, and Jesus tells us, I am the way, the truth, and life. You know, no one goes to God except through me. You know, it's so very important to understand that. It doesn't mean that Christianity or Christians in general are mean to everybody else. They just know what is true, and they're not going to be saying, oh, yeah, your religion's okay.
We're, as Christians, we're definitely very sad that there are divisions in the church and even in different religions, and we wish all could be a part of the one true religion and therefore saved by Jesus Christ. And yet, in the scriptures, St. Paul talks about how we do need to be separated from those who believe different. And maybe a good analogy of why is if we're going to talk about college football teams, right? So we live here in Lincoln, Nebraska, and we are united together, most of us anyways, at being fans of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. That necessarily, that unity that we all have together, that necessarily divides us away from Iowa football fans mm-hmm. or the Ohio State football fans. There are divisions that are necessary for unity. You know, that's the reality of a sinful world where not all of us are able to believe, and that sounds self-righteous. I don't mean that to be self-righteous. Not everyone believes what Scripture says. And the truth be told, there should never be a person, a pastor, or a group that is above correction, so long as we understand where that correction comes from God. And where does God reveal his correction and his reality to us? In the Word, recorded in Scripture, which all points us to Jesus Christ again.
Isn't there a place in the Bible that Jesus says something along the lines of, I did not come here to unite but divide, or something like that? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, he did not come to bring peace, but to, he did not, yeah, you got me caught off guard here. But yeah, he says something similar to that. It is a reality of sin. That's who we are, sinful people, and sin divides.
Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Adam Moline from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Lincoln, Nebraska. We've been discussing all sorts of things, and that comes to the ascension of Jesus and Elijah being taken up to heaven. We've discussed Pentecost, the birth of the church, the tongues of fire, the different languages, speaking in tongues, Tower of Babel. Oh my goodness, we went through a lot today, didn't we?
Indeed.
There's a reason why this program's only an hour long, because I actually thought about doing this as a two-hour program, and I got to thinking how exhausting that would be. All that information going into your brain. So I can't believe an hour's gone by already.
Mm-hmm.
We have discussed a lot. So if you've missed most of this program, if you give me a little bit, I'll get it on the website, thecross957.org, and you can listen to it here in a little bit. That's assuming that you're listening to this live, which is on Sundays from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. almost every Sunday. I don't always get a pastor in every Sunday. So go to that website, thecross957.org. Also, go to our Facebook page. If you have a question that you would like to submit to a pastor coming up, we will ask it on your behalf, which the last episode we had was purely listener-submitted questions, which is really cool. It was really cool. So we do look into those, and we do provide those to our pastors to to have a discussion about. So this is the Wi-Files. We got to go. Have a great week, Lincoln, and the rest of the world. God bless.